Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, and we're coming to you from the Managed Care Compliance Conference, which is winding up here in Lake Buena Vista, Florida at Disney Springs. I am joined by Jenny O'Brien from United Healthcare, who's one of the people who helped create this meeting and set the agenda for it. Jenny and I talked before the meeting about what to expect, and we're here now to talk about what actually happened and what some of the key takeaways are. Jenny, thanks for being here, and thanks for your help making this meeting such a big success.
Yeah, I think it was one of our highest attended ever, and the energy was fantastic. Great speakers, and so excited to share with you some of the highlights.
Well, let's start with one of the topics, audit. It was one of those things that just seemed to keep coming up over and over and over again. Can you share with the listeners basically what was covered, what some of the key issues were, what some of the key takeaways are?
Yeah, I think one of the validating consistencies we found was when we set up the speaking agenda, we received a lot of submissions that had to talk about how they're handling the increased amount of audits that are coming by. And then we had some great government speakers, Kim Brandt from CMS, Megan Tinker from OIG, and on their topic and on their agenda was recognizing the increasing number of audits that their teams are doing and the opportunity for industry and the regulator to really share where is there overlapping and redundancies, because as time goes on, for good reasons, audits are increasing because pressure for oversight of the programs are increasing. Whether you're on a government side, they're getting pressure, or you're on a industry side. And so I think we're in a very good place to have a dialogue and how we can partner on how do we meet the regulators' need to demonstrate they have oversight over these programs, a lot of money in these programs, but how does a regulator also listen to the industry to say there might be some good ideas, we get you need to do these, but are there some efficiencies we can find that would decrease the administrative expense and burden for all of us that are involved?
Yeah, and I think you touched on something that was very important and was nice to hear, is that the regulators were very interested in starting a dialogue, you know, the recognition that they can work well in partnership with compliance people, that we all have the same goal of preserving integrity. And they seemed very receptive to listening. In fact, I thought it was notable that Kim Brandt put her email address and noted it's her personal email address at CMS that was there. So if you've got an issue, do it, and made that comment about that at one point they had requests for comments and had, I think, 2,800 responses.
Yes.
And they were more than 80% through reading each and every one of them. Now, also on the regulatory agenda, there was a lot of discussion about what the regulators' priorities were. Can you take us through what some of those were and what some of the key points people should be aware of?
Yeah, so on their list are many things, again, that aligned with what came on from speaker submissions and what our attendees wanted to hear about. So program integrity is a big area, fraud, waste, and abuse, and really how, again, some really strong partnerships between industry and the government on how we can coordinate more and make sure the industry understands their obligation to get the right referrals into the regulators so they can investigate them. So a lot of things moving in the right direction. Network adequacy is one that some might be surprised as how big of a topic it was. We had both regulators talk about network adequacy, and it's really to them, their viewpoint is, it's about access to care for all of their members, Medicaid and Medicare. Very simple approach to it. And on the industry side, it was very similar to saying, we recognize network adequacy is critical, but it's a three-legged stool. It's the health plan, it's the providers and the provider offices, and it's CMS, the regulator, that we all need to come together to make sure we have an understanding of what is the root cause of network adequacy. It could be you don't have the right amount of providers in a network, but quite often it's a challenge that we're in areas or specialties that it's really almost impossible to find providers. Might be psychiatric, behavioral health specialists, and you get out in some of the rural areas. And so for the industry to meet some of the requirements, just logistically isn't possible. So really good dialogue is beginning on what is the root cause and making sure then we can focus on some of these problems that are really industry government problems together, so we can make sure we're all moving forward, that our members, Medicaid and Medicare, some of those vulnerable patients have access to the care they need and have a means to get it.
Yeah, because, you know, healthcare is great if it's delivered and not just on paper that you can, in fact, give it.
So I'll add another one. Telehealth is another one that we were talking about. And in these rural areas, how we can partner and maybe change some of the telehealth regulations so we can reach some of those that are 200 miles away. So telehealth was a really big topic here the last couple of days as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic because it's one of those things where it's expanding. There's great opportunity there, but not all the regulatory frameworks in place, and there's issues of insurance reimbursements that the providers are dealing with. That's all a challenge. And you know, one of the things that this speaks to is an issue that's going on really in all industries is, given how the economy's been going, there's not enough people in a lot of places. And compliance is a place where you don't want to be shorthanded. Mm-hmm. And you had told me just before we started that one of the things you kept hearing a lot was discussions about how do you go about hiring the right people?
Yes, both hiring the right people and then developing the talent that we all have. And some really good discussions of, you know, I always say there are no true compliance issues. There's operational breakdowns that become compliance issues. So people are talking about how they're identifying really strong leaders in operations who have they're the first ones to raise their hand and say, we want to help and be part of this remediation plan. And we're finding that many of those internally end up being great people to then move into peer compliance roles with a capital C, right, versus mm-hmm. the day-to-day operational roles. The other discussions are why, and HCCA got brought up a number of times from small plans, large plans, medium, of where do you go for resources? And so really developing the compliance professional at all levels, like, you know, when we have panels, sometimes it's more experienced compliance professionals, but at all levels that when they come into the profession, making sure we're getting in the tools, the visibility, and opportunities to really grow as a compliance professional and be part of this future of where we're going to need more and more strong leaders being part of this profession.
Yeah, and it's what we try to do with all, you know, whether it's the academies, meetings like this, and or, you know, as we're developing workshops, it's difficult because there's a lot of skills that go into this job, and we're constantly exploring new ways to reach people. In fact, this is why we added some of those professional skills sessions at the annual meeting. Now, one of the things that I thought was really interesting and fun in this session was in the Hot Topic session, the strongest reaction was on a topic that's really not just about hiring people. It's actually how you keep people and how you keep yourself sane. Why don't you tell the folks about the suggestion that somebody made that really brought the room down?
Yeah, so we talked about how do you avoid burnout and how do you handle stress in the environment we're working in. And so each of the panel members went through, and one said, I didn't do this early enough in my career, but if I give all of you one word of advice, it's take a 2-week vacation. Because you take 1 week, and they'll wait for you for 5 days to come back, but if you take 2 weeks, other people have to step in and do things. And if you can't be gone for 2 weeks, then you're really not doing your job, making sure your team has the skills they need to cover what needs to be done in the program. And afterwards at the reception, people were walking around. I think many are planning a 2-week vacation now. That resonated really, really well.
You know, it's one of those things that's interesting, and it seems counterintuitive is, you know, I can't be possibly away for 2 weeks. Too much happens. I'm too important. But you know, it's a good lesson, especially for the leadership level, to say, wait a minute, your job is to create a team that's fully functional. It's not all about you. And I do think, by the way, that is a challenge in compliance still. It is still a profession that's very much personality driven. You know, that when a compliance officer who's very strong leaves an organization, there are notable changes, and really it should just keep going, just like anything in the operation does. And by encouraging 2-week vacation, one, it gives you a much better opportunity to rest. I know when I've had the rare fortune of taking a 2-week vacation, I come back very different than after a 1-week one. But secondly, it forces the team to rise up, and it forces you to ask the question, am I really leading and creating a full team, or are these people just a supporting cast for me?
Yes, I really push with my team and with myself. I think the biggest success of being effective and impacting an organization is that you work yourself out of a job. You can leave, maybe do something else in the organization, but if you leave, you're not missed that much. To me, that success versus having it be all in one person rather than in a program. And that's just something that you have to get used to. And to me, if you can leave and there's not a lot of blips and your program is strong, you've been successful.
Yeah, and obviously that's the goal of any compliance officer, is to have a strong program, not just have a place where you're the hero and you're the one who has to rush in to put out all the fires all the time. Well, Jenny, thanks again for taking the time to talk to us. I love that we were able to bookend this conference with what to expect and what some of the key takeaways were. I want to thank everyone who put their effort into putting this meeting together, who spoke, who attended. And finally, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.